KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cove.
Thursday, April 10th, I'll call the regular meeting of the assembly to order. Roll call, please.
Chris.
Here.
Jim.
Here.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Warren.
Oh, here.
Josie.
Here.
Paul.
Yes.
Brenda. Tom.
Yes.
Samantha.
Yes, I'm here.
We have a call.
Okay, thank you. So, who's all in King Cove?
Your Honor, we have me, which is Chris, Warren, Seward, and we have the new police chief, Eric Seiwick.
Okay. Cole Bay. Nelson Lagoon.
Just me.
Example. False pass.
Tom and Nicole.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sandpoint.
We have Mayor Alvin, Paul Granholt, and me.
Akatan.
Just me.
In Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor Ashback, there's myself, Annie, Glenora, Ernie, Jim, and Talia.
Okay, thank you. We need a motion to adopt the agenda.
Make a motion.
Chris, I make a motion.
So, Josie. Second by Chris?
I'll second it, Chris.
Anybody see any corrections? Needed?
I do want the minutes, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I have one comment on the minutes, if I may.
Sure.
On resolution 2548, I think one of on my first statement there was, I am in favor of that resolution as it shows in the bottom of the vote. So just wanted to make that clear. Thank you.
Okay, we'll make that.
Okay, that correction will be made.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anybody has?
We passed number three. We've got the option three.
Oh, okay. Well, he was just talking about just the agenda, but so he just jumped ahead a little bit on his correction. So, but we'll correct it when we get down to the minutes. Okay, if there's nothing else on the agenda, then unless there's any objections in the stand as written. Public comments on any agenda items at this time. Hearing none. Anyone feel they have a conflict of interest on any agenda items? Okay, so now we need a motion for the March, to bring the March 13th minutes to the floor.
This is Chris. I make a motion we bring the March 13th, 2025 assembly meeting minutes to the floor for discussion.
Okay. Wait a second.
I'll second. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Okay, so in the minutes, Tom already stated that his correction for his vote.
Yes. I'll make that revision before I make
the... Okay, and that'll be corrected in there.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or corrections on the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes will stand with the one correction. Okay, financials. Director's report. Jackie?
Mayor Speck, Jackie is not able to be here today, but if I can talk briefly about it.
Go ahead.
This is Annie.
Sure.
All right. So, yeah, unfortunately, she's not here today. Just one other addition to her audit portion. At the time she wrote this, we were still waiting to hear back from the Army Corps of Engineers for their legal counsel to answer a few questions. We did receive a response earlier this week. However, their response was not definitive. Like, we can't really figure out what they meant by it. So now we're looking at it a little further with BDO to try to see if we can decipher their answer. So other than that, the rest of her stuff is in here. And if there's any questions, you can let me or ask Seward as well. Thank you.
Okay. Paul?
Because we're struggling with a Corps of Engineer problem, could we get something from the auditor saying exactly their opinion, just so forces them to put something in writing? Or do we have something in writing from them already?
Mayor Osterbeck and Assemblymember Grunholt, no, we don't have an answer from them yet. Now that we've heard back from the Corps, I think that BDO will have to make a decision, and then hopefully we'll be able to finalize the audit in the next couple of weeks. We were waiting on this. So.
Answer your question? Okay. Okay, so... Yeah, I didn't realize she wasn't going to be here, but anyway, her report is there for you for the assembly. So there's no other questions for Annie on the report. I need a motion and a second to bring the February financials. Sure.
If you want to leave.
No.
I'll make a motion, this is Chris, that we bring the February 2025 financials to the floor for discussion.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
Jim.
Did you hear that? Jim seconded.
Okay. So go ahead, Annie.
Mayor Speck and Assembly, in the packet are the financials for February 2025. Just two items to point out on the first page is just the AEB raw fish tax. We did receive $358,000 in fish tax in February. A portion of that was from some smaller processors for prior months, and that's reflected here. But based off the February raw fish tax we did receive, it's about 77% of the five-year average, or 70% of the 10-year average, just to share that information. The other one is the interest revenue, which I like to talk about. Once again, we did receive about $110,000, which is still great, but it is about $18,000 less than January. So the decrease is starting to happen, and I do foresee that to decrease further as the months proceed. We are about 66.6% through our budget. I don't have anything else to call out in the expenditures. Those are tracking along pretty regularly. If there are any questions, please let me know. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie on financials?
I've got one here. Chris here, Kiko.
Go ahead, Chris.
We probably had talked about this. I just don't remember. Why is it in period actual, there's zero? What's that? Why is there zero, zero? Is that because we did? When this all was entered in, there was no information at the time for that. I think we went over that. I don't remember.
So if you look at our financials, how it is, period to actual is what we spent this month or that month. So what is in the first column is what was expended in February. So as far as, like, if you look at state shared raw fish tax, we didn't receive any money. So that's zero. But over the year, we've received in the second column over the year-to-date actual, that's what we have received this year. The third column's what was budgeted in that when the budget was approved. Does that answer your question? We just didn't receive anything in that first column for this period.
Yeah, it does. And I apologize. I mean, we probably went over this before. I just didn't remember. And so I just wanted to get a little refreshing. Thanks, Annie.
No problem. You're welcome.
Paul? And yeah, the first under general fund, the second to last item the payment in lieu of taxes, we haven't got paid, I guess, yet. Is that going to be subject to some of the cuts that are coming out of Washington, D.C., or what's the status of that payment?
That's a great question. I have not heard anything in regards to PILT, if that will be impacted or not. I don't think it will be, but I can follow up with our D.C. lobbyist on that. Typically, we do receive that money in June of 2020, or we'll get it in June of 2025. And I don't have a clue what that amount will be up until then. But I don't think so, Paul, but I will ask.
Thank you.
Other questions?
I have another quick question here real quick for Annie. On other revenues there, I see that it's tracking along with quite a bit of money coming in there. Was that some of those things you were talking about last month? Some of the rebates we were getting back and some of the, I don't know, some of the other things you were talking about. I'm drawing a blank right now, but maybe you can explain what the other revenue is again.
Yeah, the other revenue, the why it's so large is because we got the crab disaster funds and we weren't anticipating that. So that's why that's so large.
Okay. Other comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Investment report is in your packet. And I'm sure
that... Do you need to call the question?
Oh.
Well, we have another question. We haven't voted yet. And one more question. Last meeting, we talked a little bit about first reading of the next budget. Could you refresh us on the dates that we may have first and second reading of next year's budget?
Absolutely. The goal is to have it presented at the May 8th meeting and then have the second meeting on May 22nd, 2 weeks later. There will not be a June meeting.
And May 8th will be a regular meeting. That's okay. Thank you.
Okay. Question on appointment.
Grace?
Yes. Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Okay, your investment report's in the packet, and I'm sure investment report is going to go all over the place for a while. Anyway. I don't know. Do you have anything to add for the investment report, Annie, or just let it ride?
I don't really have anything else to add other than I did forward the assembly recap of APCM's forecast of what was happening with the tariffs. So I do anticipate that this our funds will go up and down and be super volatile for a while until it starts to level out. So, but hopefully everybody could read that. Just talks about the tariff rates and the impacts that they foresee.
Okay. Well, I did have one comment. One thing I don't know enough about the bond market, but maybe between now and the next meeting, you know, there's some confusion in the bond market. Maybe we can have an answer how that affects permanent fund. The bond market seems to be in turmoil too, but I don't know what I don't even know what question to ask right now. That's all. Just thought I'd mention that. Thank you.
Okay. If there's no other comments on the investment report, we need a motion and a second to bring the consent agenda to the floor, and there are three resolutions on there.
Move the consent agenda.
Okay. Well, need a second?
Second.
Oh. Annie, you want to talk through these?
Yeah, so the first resolution is Resolution 2549, which is The assembly would approve certain unincorporated communities and their respective native village council and or incorporated nonprofit entity for participation in the FY26 community assistance program. This is in regards to Nelson Lagoon and their community assistance. This has to be passed every year for us to apply on their behalf. We anticipate for FY26 that they'll receive about $10,000, which is $5,000 less than it has been over the last couple of years. But this is just something we have to approve every year. Any questions on that? Okay. And then the next two resolutions, Ernie will explain.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Annie. So there's a memo regarding both 2550 and resolution 2551, both about the reappointments of the governor's nominees, Tom Comforter to the Board of Fish, and Nicole Kimball and Angel Drobnicka to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. These resolutions will be timely. The House Fisheries Committee is going to look at the governor's Board of Fish nominees next week. The mayor sent letters of support to the governor for all three of these nominees February 21st, and we found out about them, about Tom Carpenter, on March 14th. There still has not been a official governor's news release that Tom Carpenter was appointed, but we've heard several places, particularly from Mark Hickey and UFA, that he was. And there's another appointee that was noticed on the governor's site that last week, Olivia Irwin. And so she's also a Board of Fish. And Nicole and Angel have been on, Angel for one term and Nicole for two terms. This will be Nicole's final term. And those resolutions are before you. That's it.
Okay. Thanks, Ari. Question? Since these are all on the consent agenda, question on the motion?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes. Yes.
Jake?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We don't have anything under public hearings or ordinances. So we're down to, we have two resolutions. We need a motion to bring resolution 2552 to the floor.
This is Chris. I make a motion that we bring resolution 2552, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a Cold Bay Terminal Sublease Amendment Number 3 between the Aleutians East Borough and Grant Aviation.
This is Josie. I'll second.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, Osterbach Assembly, Resolution 2552 is before you. The Borough and Grant Aviation did enter into a sublease agreement on February 1st, 2020 for Grant Aviation to sublease from the Borough a portion of the Cold Bay Terminal and the building and the aircraft apron. The agreement was for 5 years and 5 months, and it does terminate on June 30th, 2025. We did execute two sublease amendments, one on July 30th and a second one on April 1st, 2021, which the first one added Alaska Airlines for exclusive use space and then accurately reflected rental and fees for the additional carrier. And then on April 1st, 2021, sublease amendment two was entered into, which amended the rental and fees for the terminal again. Grant Aviation has contacted the borough and has requested to extend the sublease. The borough is proposing to extend the lease for an additional five-year term commencing on July 1st, 2025 and ending June 30th, 2030. It would also change the borough emergency contact information, which is outlined in Section 31, and update the lease premises area, which will be reflected in Exhibit C, and update the terminal area rentals and fees, which is outlined in Exhibit E. Exhibit C and E are not completed yet. I'm working on those with our airport advisor, but those should be done soon. But we are requesting that the mayor's authorized to negotiate and execute sublease amendment 3 between the borough and Grant Aviation. With that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions? Paul?
Besides Volusia Airways and Grant using our terminal, what does, I've been to Cold Bay for a while. I don't know what Lake Clark does, if and when they go to Cold Bay, which I assume they do sometimes. How do they handle their passengers, sir?
My understanding, they land at the Frosty Fuels area, and they offload and load there. So it's not on our apron. It's elsewhere.
Okay.
Okay. Other comments?
Just one more. Grant Aviation, they travel out. Do they have a central air service like the Atka and Nikolsky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so they do. They have it for King Cove, False Pass.
Is that a 2-year term in central air service contracts?
Typically they're actually 2 years. However, in Accutane, they granted us a 3-year agreement for that location only. I actually don't know what it is for Grant Aviation. I've never seen their agreement, but I would assume it's 2 years.
Other comments? Question on motion?
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So before us, we have resolution 2553. We need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion, Mrs. Josie.
Thank you, Josie. It'll die.
Jim, I'll make a second.
It's Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Annie?
Yes, Resolution 2553 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a service agreement with BDO to provide professional auditing and auditing services to the Oceans East Borough for fiscal year 2025 in an amount not to exceed $100,500. Back in January of 2023, the borough did issue a request for proposal from qualified audit firms to audit the borough financials for FY23 and FY24 with the option to continue the contract for the next 3 subsequent fiscal years. We received 2 proposals and BDO held the highest overall score. BDO has conducted the FY23 audit. It is currently in the process of completing the FY24 audit. Administration would now like to enter into a contract for the FY25 audit, exercising the first year extension. BDO's cost for the FY25 audit work are $86,500. Which excluded travel expenses, out-of-pocket expenses, and any unexpected work that may be needed due to audit findings. So therefore, an additional $14,000 has been added to the price to allow for those costs, totaling $100,500 as the not-to-exceed amount for the FY25 contract. If there's any questions on that, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions?
I've got one here, Annie. Chris? So was BDO our last place that we did our accounting software through?
Could you repeat that? I don't quite understand the question.
BDO, was that the last, were they the outfit that we were doing our financials through?
No, so BDO is just our auditors. So okay. They audit our system. You're talking about, Banyan System. What was the acronym?
Oh, BDS. Word? BDS.
Thank you. Yeah, BDS is what our last one was through.
Okay. The other question I have is how much has this gone up over the last couple of years, our audit price?
This year, it's pretty close to what it was last year. I would say it only went up about $2,000-$3,000, and we may not expend the whole amount. As far as the past, I don't recall, but I don't think it's been too drastic since at least FY23.
Okay.
Pretty minor.
No, the reason I asked about BDO was because I thought, and now it is BDS, but yeah, I was just thinking if that was our old finance software company that was auditing us and maybe upset because we switched to a different financial, but now that Seward mentioned, it was BDS, so thank you.
Yep.
Other comments? Question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So we don't have anything under old business, new business, so we are down to reports and updates. Annie?
Yeah, Mayor Sprague Assembly, my report is in the packet. There's quite a bit of information in here. We've got a lot of big projects going on at the same time. The first one is the Colby Dock Replacement Project. The state of Alaska and the borough are still working on negotiating and executing that memorandum of agreement that you approved at the last assembly meeting. We're still working out a few details, mainly in regards to insurance. And then as far as work goes, Restoration Science and Engineering, which is a sub-consultant for the state, did go out to Cole Bay on March 31st, and they conducted a visual site inspection survey while they were there, mostly for environmental purposes. We don't have the results of that yet, but they did arrive out there. PND was originally supposed to conduct a site visit on April 10th, or I guess 9th through the 10th. That got rescheduled I was supposed to leave tomorrow and come back Saturday, but that trip has since been canceled, largely because Aleutian Airways having software issues with their ticketing, and one of the key people that has to be there is not allowed to board the plane. So we are rescheduling that, and that will be a date to be determined. Another survey team will be arriving tentatively scheduled for April 15th to do additional survey work. So a lot of activity is happening around the Cold Bay Dock Project, and I'll keep you updated as things progress. We also have a Cold Bay Dock Elision Project where Coastal struck the dock. On March 14th, the borough and Western Marine Construction did enter into a contract in the amount of $609,000. A notice to proceed has been executed. We did have a kickoff meeting on April 1st between Moffitt Nickel, Western Marine, and the borough. Their tentative schedule for repairs is to have the materials arrive in Kodiak in early June, have the barge arrive in Cold Bay in mid to late July, and then work will probably take 3 to 7 days to complete. Since this has all happened, AMLJIA has received a Rule 408 communication. Basically, a claim has been put in against AMLJIA by Coastal for this project. So AMLJIA has hired the borough an attorney, who I've spoke with and have some questions I need to answer, and I'm working on those now. But basically, Coastal's claiming quite a few things that we are now countering. So that's time-consuming, but we are working on that. As far as the clinic goes, a lot of progress has been made here. Just recently, after I submitted this report, they did remove and replace the ambulance bay garage doors. All the interior doors are now installed. All the flooring in the lab, pharmacy, storage provider's office has been put in, and they're working on quite a few other things. So They are scheduled, I think, for substantial completion here at the end of May, and then hopefully they'll have a couple outdoor activities that they can't do yet, such as painting and such, which they'll do later in the summer. But that project's progressing nicely. The Adirondack and Breakwater, after numerous discussions with the DC lobbyists and the Army Corps, the borough did send a renewed letter of interest to the Army Corps of Engineers for this project. It was submitted on March 12th. The letter supported the continued development and advancement of this project toward a design agreement. This letter is not legally binding at all. It does not commit the borough or the Corps to provide any funding, but it's something that the Corps needed us to submit so they could finish some stuff they were working on. Sandpoint Pool, the Sandpoint Pool design, actually I did receive the 65% design the other day. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but that milestone has been met. The design team is working very fast to catch up with the major maintenance deed project so we can do both construction at the same time. So we're, you know, had to work through programming, which is like all the pool details. That's being still worked out and flushed out at the 65 to 95% design, but we're getting closer to having that caught up. We are having a contractor come out and do some closed circuit television, so some CCTV inspections where they'll put a camera in the pipes and do some work on that. And they'll be coming out here in the next probably 2 weeks, I think. We're just looking at some other ways to save some money by using some of the equipment that's currently there. Is there any questions on any of that so far?
Annie, I have a question on the back to the Cold Bay dock.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't notified of that accident and pictures sent to the assembly members on that March 14th accident that Coastal had.
So actually,
hearing of it.
Well, I did actually send an email back in May 2024 when it happened. So an email was sent to the assembly back then. It's just taken a really long time to get to the repair portion. So the accident actually occurred in May of 2024.
Okay, and it must not have been severe as the accident where they damaged the fuel line and all that.
I don't know if I said it when it wasn't as severe. It just didn't impact the fuel line, which is a major problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sandpoint Harbor Float Project is progressing nicely. This portion of the thing is like 2.5 pages long, so I just kind of keep adding to it so you guys can see the whole history of the project. But the latest is that another site visit by Moffitt and Nickel was conducted at the Transpac facility in the middle of March. All the float modulars were structurally complete, and the decking, pile guides, and other miscellaneous parts were either installed or waiting quality control inspection by Transpac. We are probably ahead of schedule for delivery of all the items, which is exciting. So they were scheduled to start shipping the modules to Seattle on March 31st for barge loading over the next few weeks. And then on April 1st, the borough, Moffitt Nickel, and Western Marine did help hold their monthly meeting, but they're still in the fabrication procurement stage. However, a lot of the modules are already being shipped. So that project's going ahead of schedule, which is exciting. And then we have the Sandpoint School Deed Project. Some items on there is that we did receive the fire marshal permit for that project on March 3rd. Which is a pretty big milestone. And then on March 26th, the borough executed the contract with UIC Construction for the project in the amount of $8,144,227. There will be a change order for the doors, but I believe it'll be deductive. So that'll take some money off of that. But we needed to get that signed when we did so they could start ordering parts and avoid any tariff impacts that we were all anticipating. So stuff's starting to be ordered. The other is the borough and community meetings. I know at the last last meeting, I was tasked with meeting with administrators. So I did send an email to all the communities requesting to have a meeting with all of them. So we're going to be holding our first meeting on the 15th with all six communities present. And then on the 15th and 16th, I have individual meetings scheduled with each community to talk to them. I have requested some financial information, which I haven't received yet. But we've asked for some financial statements, the past audit, and also for some information on any savings, revenue, expenditure assumptions that they have. So that's progressing, and next week Mayor Osterbeck, Jackie, and I will be meeting with all the communities. And then I guess I have a few more. Sorry, this is really long. Professional engineering, project management, construction management services, RFP, was put out on March 17th. Right now we have Dowell for us, but their five-year contract ends this year. So that was issued on the 17th. I anticipate receiving those by April 21st, and then we'll review and have something before you by the May 8th meeting to hire someone for that, fill that role. And then school projects, we've got quite a few, but I'll just highlight two. One's the Acatan School. So we have executed an agreement with Long to do the water, replace the water heater. So that's starting to do. They're ordering the parts. They're going to have to ship it out on Coastal because the water heater's rather large and can't go on the plane. So that's all being ordered now. And then exciting, tomorrow we'll be issuing the King Cove School water system project. So basically to replace the pipes in the King Cove School, that RFP will go out tomorrow. We've done our due diligence and kept DEED at the state very much engaged on this. So we can go back and ask for reimbursement through the CIP program that they have. It's not a guarantee we'll get money back, but at least we're in a position where we can get it once the money, if the money is ever available from the state. Also, we paid the Acatan Harbor second 10% payment on April 7th. So that check has been sent. So that will deduct about $3.2 million from the borough. But that has been sent. Once that's cashed, we officially are done owing money on that harbor, which is great news. And other than that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Annie.
Annie, Chris, I was looking at these pictures, these two pictures of the clinic. Those aren't the new rooms, are they? That's just where they kind of have moved in and they're working.
Yeah, they were, they had to start like kind of, so they could still do trauma services if needed. Stuff was being like shifted around. So it's just showing that stuff got moved into that room while they were putting the floor in the other room and the casework, like the counters and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking we're trying to expand. The clinic's trying to be expanded over there. And it was like kind of looking like they were working in closets. So that's kind of what I figured, that it was just where they're working right now is so that they can have other stuff done. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Other questions, comments? Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Annie, you had on your report, there are just two questions. Under the Acatan item, do we have any comments on that project from Trident Seafoods, who may end up a big user of it, perhaps not? But just wondering if we have any comments from them on that project.
On the Acoon one?
Yes.
I don't know if we have formal ones, but all discussions that I've had with Trident is, because I was trying to find out what size dock do we need to put in, are they going to ship through there and that. As far as I know, the last discussion I've had with Trident is they have no plans at all to use it.
Okay, I mean, nice to get something in writing for them, but in the future would help us move down the road, whatever we're doing. Okay, and then the second, only other question I have is about their deadline for engineers is a little farther down on that page. Have we had any interest from any companies yet, or is it too early? Is that the deadline, the 21st, I think?
From what we can see, there's been tons of interest. Some of them are just like companies that I know won't put stuff in, like subconsultants and stuff that I know that they're subconsultants, but yeah, there's been a lot of interest in this.
Okay, and I, for some reason I thought the deadline was April 14th, but that's just for the questions, and then real deadline's the 21st. And then we just follow up on that. When, who makes the decision to accept what company, and when would that be?
So after the, after we receive the proposals, we'll have a scoring committee, which will include myself and a few other people. And then we'll score them based off the scoring criteria outlined in the RFP, and whoever comes out as the highest score will get the bid. Or that's what we'll be proposing to you.
And that's it. So the assembly approves it on the 8th, whatever the committee reviews, and they'll give a report, and the assembly may or may not approve it at that time.
Right. We'll probably do a notice of intent to award after the score is out. That's typically how it goes, and then it'll come before you to approve the contract. And after you, if it's approved, then they'll get the notice to proceed.
Thank you, Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Other questions, comments?
I have a question, Freddie.
Go ahead, Mayor.
The information from the cities, did you want it printed, or would you be able to pull it off of our site?
If it could be emailed, that'd be fantastic to me. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Other comments?
Paul, just thank you for the word of the day. Word of the day for me is elision. I didn't even hear the word before. I had to Google it. The ship running into a stationary object. That's all. So thank you for
I kept calling it a collision, and they kept calling it an elision, and I was like, oh, I had to look it up too.
Okay. All right. If there's no more questions for Annie, Talia.
So, good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is also in the packet. I'm going to start off today with the Energy Efficiency Conservation Block Grant. This grant is for approximately $75,120 that we're going to use to replace some of this Kinko's full lighting with energy efficiency lighting. Since we've gotten the go-ahead to proceed with this grant, we've gone ahead and ordered sample lighting fixtures from Crescent Electric Supply Company. They did confirm that the final sample lights came in on the 7th, and they are being shipped out this week. I don't currently have an ETA of when it should arrive, but that's definitely something that I'll be staying on top of. Once Lonnie is able to confirm that some of these sample lights do work, that's when some of the real fun begins, because then we'll go ahead and order the bulk. Lots of fun paperwork to fill out, and I have approximately until September 2026 to get this project completed, so plenty of time. Moving on to the Rasmussen Community Support Grant, the borough is applying for this grant to support the construction of a new pool in Sandpoint. We went ahead and submitted the application on February 24th, and on the 26th, we did receive notice that we passed the initial stage of the review. And last week, so March 24th, Annie, Glenora, and I did meet with the program director to discuss the project in a little bit more detail. She did express desire to gain further insights into the pool initiative. And she also indicated that a site visit will be essential as part of the late stage review process. So that's something that's still in the works. It's going to be quite a few number of people that will need to participate in helping get all the information aligned so that she has a full perspective on what to anticipate, and hopefully will be awarded. Moving on to an RFP, I did recently, March 26th, I did release an RFP for IT proposals. The deadline for this is April 22nd. So hopefully by the May meeting, I'll be able to let you guys know what we hear back. We have had a handful of different firms reach out showing interest in providing the borough IT services. And I'm also really happy to know that we're going to have iServices aiding us and assisting with grading some of these RFPs as they come through. Moving on to CERC. So I'm still reviewing maintenance connections as work orders are coming in. Right now, I'm waiting to get the report from Don Wheeler, who did the site visit over at the Sandpoint School. So he's expressed that that should come in sometime at the end of the month. So hopefully by the May meeting, I'll be able to get a little bit more details as to what that review came up with. And then some other items that I'm working on is the Accutan hangar. The generator has been installed, but so the heat has been restored, which I'm sure the pilots are greatly appreciative of. Other items are the control panels in the hangar still need to be worked on, and also in the process of figuring out how to replace some of the bulbs in the hangar. Finally, I just rested with some of the regular meetings attended, and that is about it. If anyone has any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. Questions?
Hi, Mr. Mayor. I've got a question for Talia.
Yes.
Or I guess it's more of a comment. That's great. The heat's fixed in the hangar now. I don't know if you were told, but the motor for the doors don't work, so they're stuck open.
That's the control panel. Yes. So I've been working with Matthew on getting images and figuring out how to rectify that. So
it must be like it's a waste of heat now, but just wanted to make sure you knew. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Josie.
Yeah, we have to hang a couple of buffalo hides over the door up there. Any questions for Tom? Okay. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report's in the packet. As I mentioned in my report last month, the state is looking to severely conserve king salmon, and I again linked commissioners op-ed and Kodiak and Chignik updates. And since then, on March 18th, they published the update on Chinook for the South Peninsula. Basically, it says in July, seiners must safely release all king salmon over 28 inches. And then further, seiners in the Schumingen District, which is in the chart there, if any opening has more than 1,000 kings harvested in the Schumigans, then the next opening will be closed for stat area 282-11, which I have highlighted there. And so basically, and it's all just for seiners. It does not affect set netters in that area. And so I took from the daily harvest reports that we get daily and calculated which openings would have triggered those closures. And so those are shown in red. So, and then there's an article from KUCB that I've linked there as well. And I've also got a link to the South Peninsula Salmon Management Strategy. That said, on to the Alaska Legislature fisheries bills. They're halfway through the 120-day session. Well, actually, there's 62 days left. All of the House bills listed there, with the exception of House Bill 111, which is the fish farming bill, all the rest of them have moved out of the fisheries committee, although just heard today that House Bill 117, Representative Stutz has kind of put a hold on that one for reasons in an article published yesterday. Otherwise, there's also a new one I hadn't seen, Senate Bill 131. I guess I had seen it, but that adds mariculture products to ASME. A new one introduced yesterday, Senate Bill 161, would prohibit bottom trawling in state waters. So we'll be watching that. And then Senate Bill 156 is related to fishing loans. And I think everybody would be interested in that. On the other side of that little box of fisheries bills is a list of the Board of Fish meetings next year or starting this fall. And on those ones that are in bold, the PCOD meeting and the Ariam Chignik meeting, we have reserved rooms at the Egan where the meetings are held, side rooms for the borough and fishermen. Moving to the next page, talking about Board of Fish, our ACs have been more active than I've seen this season, getting ready for proposals. Proposals are still due up until 11:59 tonight. So if you got a proposal, you got to get in by 11:59 tonight. The statewide shellfish meeting was at the Egan this last month, and of interest was a bill that will establish a new state waters golden king crab fishery on the north side for vessels 58 and under. So that was interesting. And then there was a controversial bill that would allow a beach seine in Cook Inlet so they could release kings, but it was failed with a 3-3 vote. At the council, the biggest action item with 76 or 79 testifiers was the one on Gulf of Alaska Tana crab. And the council did take action, and they are starting analysis on basically closure areas for trawl at certain times to protect crab. Everything else. Oh, I was following hard, and I kind of downplayed it, but there was a mistake in the C1 agenda item that would create and extend vessel use caps for halibut in areas 4, A, B, C, and D, and E. And the analysis said that there was processing in King Cove in 2024, and I knew that wasn't correct, and I went back and forth with the analyst. Finally, they admitted, yes, you're right, there was no processing in King Cove in 2024. So that's that. Again, a lot of meetings this last month, and it's going to slow down now. The June meetings in Newport, Oregon, I'm probably not going to attend just to save money, because also the council, they're all virtual now, so you don't have to be in person. And I'll try to get something moving as far as eligible pollock processing communities. And that's what I've got, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie? Paul?
Yeah. Ernie, the proposals that were due today, I guess, when do they normally get published online or book form?
We're expecting sometime in the middle of September. You could still get one in. You got until midnight tonight.
September, that's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes a while for them to assemble them and get their books, but that's when they are published, is in September. So no need to have an AC meeting. I would mention, since Charlotte's not here, if those people listening, if you haven't seen her report, there's a picture of a cod that had eaten an awful lot of tanna crab in Kodiak. So a lot of good information in Charlotte's report as well. Thank you.
Other questions for Ernie? Lots of information. Thanks, Ernie. So as he said, Charlotte's out on, she had to take a break after running around on boats. So that what Ernie just mentioned too, that cod that she has in there, it says they had counted over 50 juvenile tanner crab in the stomach of just the one large female. So
I don't see that.
Okay, so that's it for the report. So we're down to assembly comments.
Mr. Mayor Curtis here, I got a comment.
Go ahead.
I want to say I did see that the Testamina is back in the water and been running back and forth to Kodiak, so that's good for our communities out here for this summer. Also want to thank the Aleut Corporation for going to be bringing somebody out from UMV to help the communities of Sandpoint and King Cove get the real ID, which is going to go into effect here on the 7th of May. And that's all I got. So thank you.
Okay, thanks. Other assembly comments? Okay. We are down to public comments.
It's unmuted.
It's unmuted. Mayor,
what?
Members of the assembly, my name is Eric Sywick. I'm the relatively new police chief here in King Cove. I started here on January 27th, and I'm having a good time so far, so I wanted to start out with that. Give you a little bit of a background and kind of what why I'm here. I retired from the Drug Enforcement Administration after 23 years of service, and I had 10 years of service before that with the state of Montana and in the Sheriff's Office in Phoenix. And I kind of feel like that I needed to kind of talk to you about what my plan of attack is here in King Cove. As you all are aware, drugs are a continuing problem, the use and the abuse. And I've talked with, for example, I've talked with Sandpoint's police chief, and I've talked with Captain Lowry, and I've met with the feds in Anchorage and Alaska State Police. And I think there's a plan trying to be formulated on how best to deal with the community. Because I think we all can say we probably know someone, are affected by someone that has been touched by drug abuse. So with the foresight of the mayor and the city, we are purchasing a three-year-old canine, Labrador, that is imprinted for narcotics, heroin, meth, and cocaine. And I will be going down and picking up the Labrador in about 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks. And we will get him up to speed. I will get him certified, myself certified. And I just wanted to extend my, the King Cove Police Department will be more than willing to travel and help out any of the other boroughs that need some assistance with, drug interdiction. And I think that's kind of why I just wanted to, share that with the members of the board and introduce myself. And feel free to contact the King Cove Police Department if you need help, have a question, community service, whatever I can do to help educate the community on some of the dangers that are continuing, to take place in our communities. And, and I don't want to quote someone real famous, but it does take a village. It does take a village to make a progress, to stand and say no more. We're not going to deal with it. So that's kind of my approach. And again, I wanted to, thank everybody for their time, for allowing me to speak.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And could you say your name again?
It's Eric, and it's Sywick. And it's S as in Sam, I-W... E-C-K.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Your comments. Other public comments?
Just, you should have, you said other boroughs, you mean other communities.
It's okay.
Okay. I know, I'm just kidding.
This is a bureau.
Okay, hearing none. Our next regular scheduled date is for May 8th. 2025 will be our next regular meeting.
Move to adjourn.
And we have a motion to adjourn. Thank you, everybody.
4:30. Paul is way too busy.
4:30.
Older than I'm younger than and we'll start where the thing is playing, and that's My Back Pages by The Boots.